Now, I know that you guys have been obviously doing this for quite some time, but I've noticed because I get all kinds of, the PR packages from everyone, that there seems to be a higher concentration of camping related heavy festivals that are happening more in New England, I'm finding, than in other places. As someone who's putting on one of these festivals, do you have an explanation as to why that might be cropping up right now?
I mean, New England, I guess the New England thing kind of plays into that. We've got plenty of rural areas. New England's a very scenic, naturalist. You get further up into Vermont and you're up in the mountains. You head west from here, you're in the Berkshires. I think it's just kind of like a natural New England-based thing that we gravitate towards. But on top of that, it's just like, part of it is a safety thing. We want people to be safe after a day full of moshing and drinking and have somewhere to take refuge and go back to your campsite and sleep it off. Like, we don't want people driving home after that. So, that's obviously a big, big factor in it. But yeah, it's just like going out in the wood, like walking through the woods at the peak of the weekend is one of my favorite things to do. Just seeing the lines of tents, the little campsites and communities and neighborhoods that people end up building out in the woods. And honestly, that's what makes the fest for me, is just having all of our friends in one place at one time and making those connections year after year.
Now, if people are coming and they're like, say, I don't know, someone like a named Andrew, that's a hypothetical person, and they're not someone who enjoys camping. That's not a required portion of this, right?
There's local hotels nearby. If you're not into tent camping, we do have vehicle camping passes. You can just set up at, like, this past weekend I was up at New England Death Metal Bonanza in Maine, and I just put up a air mattress in the back of my car and slept in there. That is always an option if you really don't want to be camping outside. We also do have some limited RV camping passes as well if you want to go bigger. But yeah, camping's totally optional. But I will say that I think it's part of the experience. So I do highly recommend it if you do have that opportunity, especially if you got a group of friends going or other people going, pitch together on a tent. Because then you also get to stick around for, we have, late night activities and early morning activities before and after the music. So there's a lot going on that you might miss out if you don't camp out. Having said that, totally understand camping is not for everybody. Just come out to the show and enjoy it then.
Well, let's talk about some of those special events because I was
Heck
looking
yeah.
through on the social media and I saw some things crop up. But what kind of are traditionally, or maybe for this year, that you guys do in addition to having the bands?
So traditionally, I think we've been running since like 2018 or 2019. We've been having burlesque shows, karaoke, trivia. We've been doing metal yoga in the mornings. And then, somewhat of a more recent addition, we've been doing pro wrestling matches. And in fact, this year, Saturday night, we have a Kaiju Big Battle, which, if you're not familiar, is it's a wrestling promotion where they dress up like monsters and robots, and they fight in the ring with like miniature cities and smash it all up in the midst of the battle.
That sounds amazing.
They've been going for, my God, I want to say 20, 25 years at this point. Like, when I was a kid, I heard about this. But yeah, we're super psyched to have them. And then Pro Wrestling Grind, which is a like heavy metal themed wrestling promotion here in Western Mass. They've been a partner with us for the last, I think, 3 years now. So it was something we always wanted to do. And then, now that we found the right people, we're leaning into the pro wrestling thing. Because honestly, there's nothing better than the end of the festival at the night. Everybody's exhausted and just completely obnoxious and yelling at wrestlers for the duration of the match. And they lean into it. It's so much fun.
Over the top heels and faces so that people know exactly what's going on.
Exactly. Yep.
CJLO 1690 AM, you're listening to Grade A Explosives, and you just got done hearing another part of an interview that I did with Brian, who is the creator of and logistics person for RPM Fest, which happens down in Montague, Massachusetts, each year. Well, each year for the past couple years that wasn't COVID related. You know what I mean. It has been happening. We've gone over, you heard in the interview, you know, what's been going on with it. There will be a thing later that goes over the amount of actual festivals. He does the math in the future parts of this. Not to spoil anything, because, you know, I am very, I'm very cognizant about trying not to spoiler things, but I think I can give you a little bit of a preview. What's the difference between a preview and a spoiler exactly? I think this is really just an aside comment that I should leave off of this, but I'm including it because I want to. Anyway, if you miss any part of this, or you need to like head out and go to your colonoscopy or, you know, whatever you've got going on today, feel free to go to cjlo.com, Great Explosives on the website, and you can check out this entire show after I post it, which will hopefully be this week. But we'll see. We'll see. It's a week. You know, it's a crazy week. So let's get on with this interview. Let's just keep rolling, 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 as a poet of our generation, Fred Durst, would say. Let's talk a bit about the actual location changes that they've done here. And also, you know, I felt like I should ask about New England Metal Hardcore. Hardcore, I'm sorry. New England Metal and Hardcore. So that's coming up here. Enjoy this. Keep it locked. RPM Fest, CJLO, 1690 AM, Grade A Explosives. Is this, I think I've done the math correctly as I was looking through. Is this your number 6 for RPM 5?
Eight.
Okay.
I'll do the math out real quick. We did 2014 to 2016 at the original site, which was literally in my parents' backyard. needless to say, the town stopped liking that. So we took 2017 off to look for a new location. We did 2018 and 2019 at the Miller's Falls Rod and Gun Club, where we currently are. COVID wiped out 2020 and 2021.
Right.
And then we resumed 22, 23, and this will be 24. So we did 3 years, 2 more years, and this will be 8.
Okay.
There we go. I counted it out. 8. This will be our eighth festival in 10 years.
So eighth festival, obviously you were talking about how this started off as a backyard project, as it were.
Yeah.
What's been the challenges that you've kind of seen, aside from, you know, I don't want to say being run out of a town, but a town being unhappy with you and having to relocate?
Yeah, that was definitely a big one. It wasn't unexpected. And honestly, it was kind of a blessing in disguise. We really started outgrowing the original site. We could have made it work there. The big thing, we had a limit on the original site was parking. We were starting to like come up with creative methods to fit cars in, or we were talking about alternative parking options or shuttling people in or clearing out more space in the woods for parking. Like, it would have been a lot of effort to grow the festival at that site, and we would have hit natural limits at some point. We just had to figure out a different site no matter what. So that was kind of a blessing in disguise. The Rod and Gun Club has been awesome to us, great home for us. So I guess really the challenges these days are just, you know, everything's getting more expensive, needless to say. A lot of the rates for, like I said, stages, porta potties, trash removal, like, you know, all the really boring stuff, all that's kind of gone up in price a little bit. We've also had to, you know, increase our ticket prices a little bit as a result. But I feel like, you know, for the price we're offering for a weekend ticket, you still get an incredible value for a weekend of, you know, 42 bands and 2 wrestling shows and a burlesque show and free tent camping. So, yeah, really the only other big challenge we have is that I don't think we could do this festival anywhere else. Because Western Mass is really a good combination of being rural enough where we're not dealing with noise issues. We don't have to deal with, you know, big city issues. But because it's kind of out in the middle of nowhere, not the middle of nowhere to say, but we're 2 hours from Boston. We're 2 hours from Albany, about an hour and a half from Hartford. We're kind of nicely centrally located, but no, we're not in a super populated area. So it's a little bit of drive for anybody coming from New England, but I think the benefits of being in a rural location outweigh if we were to go somewhere else. It's close enough, but not too far away, if that makes any sense.
It does. Yeah. Well, I have a bit of a trick here because I'm originally from Pennsylvania. So everything is both very far away and also not very far away for an hour drive. But when I talk to people here in Montreal and say, oh, yeah, I would drive an hour to something, they'd be like, what are you even talking about? You're not making any sense right now.
I mean, like, for us out in Western Mass, like, to go to any, like, major tour date, we're talking you either have to drive an hour to Worcester, an hour to Hartford, hour and a half to Albany, 2 hours to Boston. Like, not a lot of tours come through this area because we don't have a major venue. Although that's been changing a bit as of lately, you know, a lot of the venues that either shut down over COVID or, you know, during whatever economic crash, I've lost track at this point.
Yes, all of them.
We're seeing a lot of spaces become available again, so that's an improvement. Things are picking up a little bit in that regard, but a lot of the main metal and punk and hardcore tours, they kind of just gloss over Western Mass because it's not as populated. You know, that makes sense, but we couldn't do this festival in Boston or Worcester or Hartford, any of the major cities. There's no spot for it. We'd get shut down immediately. There's no big campgrounds. There's no big empty fields. Like, it won't happen. So we are where we are, and that's, you know.
Well, if we're talking about large events and we're talking about Massachusetts, I would be remiss not to bring up New England Metal and Hadcore, which I'm required to say in that way.
Hadcore.
Do you guys see yourself as sort of a complement to them?
Oh, yes.
Obviously, you're not the same entity. You're not run by the same thing. But are you competition with them? Are you complementary? What's
no,
kind of your
like
thought?
They're, you know, in terms of the caliber of the bands they get, you know, they're going for the A-list of whether it's, you know, death metal or hardcore, or they're probably operating at 5 to 10 times the budget we are. And, you know, while they still have plenty of awesome locals on the bill and absolutely respect what they do, and plenty of our fans will go to both events, it's just it's a different vibe because, you know, they don't have camping. They don't have the extra musical activities. They do have vendors. But, you know, we still try to go for that homegrown DIY backyard barbecue kind of feel, which, you know, it's a different event. So I'd say it's definitely complimentary. You're going to the middle of a big city and getting a hotel for that show, whereas you're coming out here and lighting up a campfire and roasting some hot dogs and hanging out listening to music out here. So, yeah, they're definitely complimentary events, and we recognize that and aim for something a little bit different, both musically and experience-wise, because it'd be silly to compete with that.
mentioned kind of basic costs are going up for everyone all the time. But I know for after talking to bands for just so much time, so many of them are very upset about something as simple as the price of gas that's been happening now. And I've been hearing a lot of bands from Montreal say that they, at this point, would prefer to play larger kind of festivals like this, which is kind of a collection of everyone coming together, rather than them trying to do like a whole tour around it because it saves them money. Do you think that that is kind of the way that things are going, where it's more like an event type of thing for bands during the summer? Or do you think that there is still kind of the viability, I guess, for doing tours?
Yeah, I think you got to do a little bit of both. Like, I think, you know, as someone who's playing in, you know, multiple bands and touring and whatnot, I think touring for the sake of touring doesn't make sense. I think you have to have an established goal or a certain event that you're touring around. Yeah, if you're just trying to go out and do play a bunch of clubs in over a 2 week span, like, you have to do that around a record release or a single or an EP, or do that around a festival or something of that nature to make it worth your while. So yeah, I think it's a little bit of both. I feel like the full large-scale U.S. tour is definitely a lot more difficult than it used to be with the gas prices and just rental costs for vans and trailers and such. Yeah, those are definitely a little harder to come by unless your band is super in demand or you're right, you're timing it right with a record release or something like that. Just straight up, you're making most of your money off merch sales and album sales, and all of your show payment is going right to your van and gas. Like,
right,
that's just how it is. But the more you can arrange that around a festival or something of that nature, the better off you'll be, for sure.
I'm interested to hear your kind of thoughts as a promoter and like as a part of a group that sells tickets, also as a band thing. That's true. I did that whole intro and then I forgot, like, oh, he's fans too. He's not just talking about this. But obviously I think like a lot of us that are into music, we've been following kind of, let's call it Ticketmaster and its various nonsense, over the past couple years. With you know, we could start with surcharges, we can start with like, or we could continue with buying up venues, forcing bands to give them money just for playing at it. There's all kinds of talks about like breaking up Ticketmaster, trying to get rid of its monopoly on things. Do you have any strong opinions about this, or are you just like, well, you know, that's how it goes?
Yes, I do have strong opinions. You can only guess what those opinions are. Yeah, I mean, I've never been at a band that's had to deal with that at the scale we are. Like, you know, we're not playing Live Nation venues. We're not dealing with Ticketmaster. Most of the venues we are playing are independent and do their own ticketing or, you know, whatever. But yeah, it still sucks for any of those bands that do have to deal with that. And then, whether it's ticket fees or merch cuts, like, that stuff's an absolute nightmare and should not be happening. Yeah, and I'm all for breaking up any large company like that has a monopoly on anything.
I started to ask this question and I got a little concerned because I'm like, oh, I didn't actually think that maybe RPM Fest does a merch cut of things.
Nope, absolutely no, absolutely not. 100 bands keep 100% of their sales. It's insane that a venue would take a cut of a band's merch. Like, I don't get it. You're already paying the band. Why? Just, it doesn't make any sense.
I've never understood it either. And the fact that they do it even for like small bands that probably have already paid to go on tour with some of these larger bands is, I mean, that just feels criminal to me at that point.
Yep. Yeah. It's ridiculous. You know, if venues want a cut of merch sales, then bands should get a cut of bar sales, like vice versa. Like, I don't know. It goes both ways.
I mean, I guess we touched a little bit on the scene in me bringing up New England metal and hardcore, and you having all of the bands that are playing that are locals from you. What's kind of the scene in New England? Does it break down to different things in different places? Like, is there a, obviously New England metal and hardcore is a concept that people in metal might know about, but is there like a New England thrash scene that's happening in like Hartford maybe, or a grindcore scene happening in Portland, Maine?
See, I don't know if there's anything relegated to certain areas like that. You know, there are definitely like pockets of thrash bands, grind bands. You know, for example, like I just attended the New England death metal bonanza. Like a lot of really cool death metal, slam, you know, that sort of like those sort of bands. Surprisingly, a lot of like young bands up and coming in that scene too. So that's really cool to see. Yeah, I mean, I think there's pockets of any subgenre in any given location, but I guess, like I said, the thing about RPM is that we're not really focusing on any sort of one of those, and we're, you know, just trying to bring out the biggest and the best of any of those, you know, pockets of the scene, I guess.
Is kind of the area contained enough with the bands that are there that kind of everyone knows one another in some way or has interacted in some capacity?
If not, like, the scene is so incestuous that you've been in a band with 60 different people, and every drummer is in six bands and every bass player is in three and a half and filling in for your friends on given shows. Like, I'm in bands with people I've known for 20 years, grew up playing in pop punk and rock bands, and now I'm in a band with people I've met 20 years back out of nowhere. So it's a lot of that going on.
It's sort of amazing that no matter who I talk to, no matter where they're from, the incestuous nature of these bands seems to come up everywhere.
I mean, there's only so many musicians going around, and everybody wants to do a couple different bands. It's not enough to just play in one band these days. You got to get your creative juices from multiple places. And if I wasn't running RPM Fest, I'd probably be in two more bands.
I was going to say, you're a drummer, so you're the hottest of all commodities.
Tell me about it. You have no idea how many times I've had to be like, listen, I would love to play with you, but I just literally don't have time.
How much time do you think you dedicate? I mean, obviously, at the festival, since you're doing more logistics, is probably when you're doing the most kind of amount of hours toward it. But what kind of amount of time does it take to set up something like RPM?
Depends on the given week. You know, there's a big burst of stuff that has to happen right before our ticket launch, just making sure all the back end stuff is ready to go. Beyond that, I'm just trying to keep cracking whatever I can, whether it's scheduling the social media posts, making sure the website's up to date. You know, I'll try to do a lot of that on my downtime, whenever I just get a minute to sit on my computer. Like, I've always got a running list of things I need to do. Like, if I look at my notes app right now, I still need to prep the production page, set up the band advance form, prep some sponsor posts, send a few more promo packs, start locking in and paying all the contractors. And I just kind of just keep going down the list whenever I have a free moment. You know, I would say roughly 10, 15 hours a week. Maybe less some weeks, but a lot of it is just sitting down at my computer and blasting out emails. That's a lot of what it is.